No, he says, I think I'm sick. And then he called me a little later and says, I know I'm sick. And then he calls me again even later and says, I got COVID. And so he said, can you cover for me? And I said, yeah, I'll be glad to cover for you. So we're praying that he gets well and better. He thinks he's on the mend, but with COVID, you never know. One day you feel pretty good, and then the next day you can take a turn. So we want to keep him and that whole his whole family in our prayers. But it's a pleasure to be here tonight, and I won't take a lot of time. I just hope you packed your supper with you. So now, this is Sunday night crowd, right? So since you brought your Bibles, not if you brought your Bibles, but since you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. If you don't have your Bibles, I think the text will be up on the screen. Yes. Joshua 24. I'm reading out of the New King James Version here. And Joshua writes, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May God bless the reading of His Word. I'll just give you a little background here. At the end of the book of Deuteronomy, we see where prior to his death, Moses gives his authority to Joshua. After Moses died, Joshua is the one who led the people into God's people into the promised land and served God faithfully. Now, by the time of our passage here in chapter 24, Joshua is nearing death himself. And so he reminds the Israelites of where they came from and how God had provided for their needs along the way. Joshua challenges them with these words, with these particular words here. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Now, I know this is a common passage. I don't know of a preacher who's probably not preached on this passage sometime in their ministry. I'm sure you have, Ralph. But it's a phrase, it's a simple phrase, but it's a phrase that could not be more relevant than it is today, right now. The phrase begins, and I want to work through this here with you just for the next few minutes. But the phrase begins with the words, choose for yourselves. Now, Joshua wanted the Israelites to understand that they had a decision to make. And it was they who must choose. It was they who must decide. God would not choose for them. It was their decision. Now, the responsibility of whether or not the Israelites wanted to serve God was their choice and theirs alone. It was put in their court. I believe God is saying that to us today. He is saying, you see what's going on. Surely you're not blind to what's going on. You see what's going on. You see the compromise. You see the concession, even in the church. You have a choice to make. Get off the fence and decide. In other words, God is saying, again, it's a choice that we have to make ourselves and a choice that we will ultimately be judged by. Now, we may not realize it, but our culture is pushing us into a corner. It's pushing us to the point of having to make some decisions that we've never had to make before. Either we're going to choose what they want us to do and to believe, or we're going to stand on what God has said in His Word. Now, many commentators have said that one characteristic that defines the current generation in America is our inability to make commitments or to make decisions. That's something that defines our American generation. We have become a culture where we just really can't seem to make commitments, whether it's in marriage or politics or church or what we believe. I mean, you name it. We don't like to make commitments, probably. But if we do happen to make commitments, then if our decision gets the commitment we make gets inconvenient for us, or it becomes unpopular, or it gets criticized, then what do? We tend to change our minds on that. That's what's gotten the church into the mess it's in, I believe. But when you look at what's happening in the world right now, God is trying to tell the church, get off the fence, quit trying to have it both ways. God is saying you need to make a decision, a choice, because either God is who He said He is or He isn't. Either God's going to take care of us or He isn't. Either God and His Word is true or they're not true. Either way, get off the fence and make a decision. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. That's what Joshua was telling the people. But Israel also needed to know something else. They needed to know that God's patience had a limit, and it was now time for them to decide. God wasn't going to wait indefinitely, in other words, on them to make a decision. Joshua says, choose this day whom you will serve. He urged the Israelites that the decision was to be made immediately. Now, part of that urgency here, on his part, was due to the fact that he was getting ready to die. And he didn't have much time left to lead the people. But I think there's more to his words here than just that. You know, notice closely how the phrase is worded. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Now, whether or not they served was not really the question. The question was, whom will they serve? Themselves or the Lord? Now, in the book of Acts, we see where Paul told the people of Athens, the time of ignorance God overlooked, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent, because He has fixed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness. Like Joshua, Paul was telling the Athenians that now was the time. Now was the time that they needed to quit choosing themselves and their interests and instead choose God. You know, Joshua knew that once the Israelites heard God's request, they were obligated to respond. Now, why do I say that? Because to not respond would have been the same as saying no to God. I want you to think about this. That's what happens when people hear the gospel. They are put into a position to have to make a choice. They've heard it. They can't unhear it. You've heard the message. Now you have to do something about it. You can't be neutral any longer. That's one choice you no longer have once you hear the gospel. Notice how also here how that the issue is not choose whom you like or who you appreciate or who you will cast a vote for or who you will believe in. Nor is it about whom you will profess or claim or have faith to follow. No, it doesn't say that. As Jesus said in Matthew 7, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy and do the many wonderful things, you know, in your name? Did we not do these things in your name? So it's not necessary about who you have faith to profess or claim, how much faith or any of that. And it's not who you will pray to or even worship. Jesus said in Matthew 15, these people honor me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. No, it's choose whom you will serve. That's what we're called to answer. In other words, it's about who is in control of our lives. Who is in control of our lives? That's always been the question concerning the gospel. Who is in control of your life and my life? Who will make the decision about our career and our money and our marriage and our attitudes and how we raise our kids, our priorities? This is a call to recognize God as God who is in control of our lives. So essentially what Joshua is saying here is, how long will you go without giving God His rightful place in this world? How long will you go in your lukewarmness and rebellion? How long will you go without giving God His rightful place in your life? Jesus told the church of Laodicea, I know your works. I know your life. Because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. You know, in this passage here, Jesus is saying we need to make a choice and stop straddling the fence when it comes to our commitment to Him. That is, I say that, and you would agree with me. Everybody who's a Christian would say, yes, of course, that's what we need to do. But when it comes right down to it, I think we falter more times than we like to admit. A common question many people ask today is, why am I here? Why am I here? To answer that question, we need to go back to the beginning. It's here that we find that we were created to serve. You know, Genesis 2:15 says, "The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to care for it." From the beginning, God has entrusted mankind with the responsibility of serving Him. Now, we see in Genesis that God had a relationship with Adam, and as a result of that relationship, Adam served Him by taking care of His creation. Having a relationship with God, therefore, means that we will serve Him. We will serve, not just profess Him, not just believe in Him, not just pray to Him, but we will serve Him. The reason people have the problems they do, things like broken homes and broken marriages and always in conflict with others and depression and anger issues and addictions, it's because they have chosen whom they will believe or confess. It's not because they've chosen who they will believe or confess or pray or worship to. They've not chosen whom they will serve. That's the issue with them. That's the issue. It's so easy, I think, to put our facade on, a Christian facade, and pretend that everything that we do is fine and good, and we pretend to be, you know, okay with that. But God is not. You see, we are much more likely, even in the church, to serve ourselves what we want before we choose to serve God and His kingdom. It's our flesh, it's our natural tendency. That's why there's so much dissatisfaction, I think, with people in church. I've been in church all my life. I was raised in church. I was a toddler crawling around when the preacher was preaching. That's how long I've been in church. I was called a teenager when I came in. I appreciate that compliment. But I'm a few years older than that. But I've been in church all my life. And I think why there's so much dissatisfaction with people in church is because we are more interested in serving our own wants and needs rather than the greater good of the church and what God wants. What I'm saying is that people would rather have it their way than to put their dislikes and disagreements aside and serve God. We're never going to get our way all the time. And church is never going to make you happy. Did you know that? Church will never make you happy. Only Jesus Christ will make you happy. So we can stand, you know, and complain all day long about what we don't like. Only Jesus will make us happy. Now, I could say more about that, but I want us to notice something else. Not only were we created to serve, we are also called to serve. And that's the difference. We were created to serve, but we were also called to serve. It's common to hear pastors and missionaries and chaplains, you know, talk about how the Lord called them to serve. Yet the Bible tells us that everyone who wants to follow Jesus is called to serve Him. In Deuteronomy 10:12, Moses says this, "And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." You know, God doesn't just want our confession or our beliefs or our admiration. He wants us to serve Him with all that we have. All that we have, not to earn His favor, but to show Him that we love Him and that we are sincere in our faith. Really, what good is it to find God if we don't serve Him? I've asked that question to people. What good is it to find God if we don't serve Him? This is why the Hebrew writer says what he does, that it was for service that we were cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 9:14. "How much more will the blood of Christ purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" If we're not serving God, then all we're really doing is performing religious dead works. And I'll be honest here, I believe there are a lot of people in church buildings all over America who are doing nothing more than performing religious dead works. And the sad part is they don't even realize it. Or tradition, I heard that, yes. When Joshua crossed the Jordan River and entered the Promised Land, the Sea of Galilee was to his north, the Dead Sea was to his south. These two bodies of water are connected by the Jordan River in a direct north-south line along the Great Rift Valley. Now, clear, clean water from the underground springs flow into the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee flows south into the Jordan River. Galilee is gorgeous. It's an active lake full of life that has sustained fishermen in the region for thousands of years. The Dead Sea, on the other hand, is a shallow, lifeless basin with no outlet. It accumulates the water that flows into it from the Jordan, but there is no outlet. So fresh water comes in, and then it sits, but then the fresh water evaporates, leaving behind salty, cloudy water so dense that swimmers float like corks. The whole sea is literally dead, which is where it gets its name. But when we, as the people of God, have no outlet for service to God, we too become spiritually stagnant and dead, like the Dead Sea. Instead of our faith being life-giving, active, and fruitful, we become as dead as the stagnant water in that Dead Sea. Again, a lot of times we don't even realize it. That's where Israel found themselves in Joshua's day, and why it's so important that we make sure we are serving the Lord. Not just believing, not just professing, not just praying to Him, but serving the Lord. Paul actually, in Ephesians 4:12, God tells us the purpose or the reason He wants us to serve. And Paul says, it was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people, listen closely, for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we have reached unity in the faith and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So here, Paul actually takes us back to the Deuteronomy passage where God calls us to love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and to serve Him. Now, we do this so that both as individuals and as congregations, we will not become stagnant or dead in our walk with God. But we do it also for the benefit of others so that they may know Christ personally. I hear you talk about Chris, this young man. We do it for them so that they too will desire to serve Christ and obey Him when they see us doing the same thing. There's one more thing I want to point out here just for us to think about. And it's this, the urgency of choosing this day and not waiting. And I say that, the urgency of choosing this day is because the longer we put off the decision to fully commit to serving the Lord, the harder that decision will be later. I can tell you that's just a matter of fact. Statistics have shown that as people get older, fewer and fewer make a commitment to really serving the Lord. The Bible also confirms this. The older we get, the more our hearts harden. Make the assumption that we can make the choice later in life to serve the Lord is a mistake. It's a mistake. But there's another reason as well, and it's this. The decision to serve God is as unique as this day is unique. It's unique to this day. It's unique to this day. The offer may still stand at some future point in our life, but it will be different and always lessened with time. You know, and what I mean by that is, I think the choice to serve God in our youth is often a package deal. I've seen this in ministry when you're young, you know, and when you're serving God. Very often you bring a lot of people with you, friends and family, and there's a lot of excitement. That's why youth, when somebody's in a youth group, there's a lot of friends that come. But service to God that is accomplished as you get older is often done on an empty train to heaven. You know, there have been a lot of fathers and mothers after they have wrecked or destroyed their children's or grandchildren's lives, decide they want to start really serving the Lord. Now, that might be well and good for them, but not for their loved ones. More often than not, they have already turned their back on God. The story of Manasseh in the Old Testament is an example of this. He became right with God after he had ruined his kingdom and thousands of lives along with it. The point is this, both the Old and New Testaments are clear that we were created to serve, we were called to serve, God has prepared us to serve, and has given us a purpose for serving. But the longer we wait, the more damage and destruction and misery we leave behind, including in our own personal lives. You know, Joshua's challenge is as relevant and urgent today as it was when he first spoke these words. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. The world is trying to push us in a corner, as I said earlier. It's trying to pull us in all directions. It's trying us to commit, you know, follow the science, whatever, instead of putting our trust in the Lord. The longer we wait, the harder it is, or the harder it's going to be, to obey that commandment. Again, whether we realize it or not, all of us end up serving something. You're serving something. So the question is not, will you and I serve? The question is, whom will we serve? Ourselves, which is basically, you know, idolatry, or the Lord. Just choose one or the other. It's either about ourselves or it's about Him. Jesus said we cannot serve two masters. With all that's going on around us in our culture today, it is vital that we hear God's voice and choose this day, whom we will serve. Not just for our own sake, but for those around us, especially those we love. You know, may God give us the strength and the wisdom to choose to serve Him. That's what we have to, you know, we call on His name. Call on His name. Ask God to give us the strength and wisdom to choose to serve Him, regardless of what's going on. The pressures may get, you know, tight on us. From the outside world, I mean. But if we pray to God and ask Him to give us the strength and wisdom to serve Him, He will give us the strength. And may our response be the same as it was for Joshua when he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't think there's a time greater, at least in my lifetime, that I see the necessity of following this passage. Choose this day whom you will serve, because one day it'll be too late. It'll be too late. God has given us His truth, His Word. He's given us His Holy Spirit. He's given us everything we need to choose this day whom we will serve. He's not taken away our free will. The choice is still ours. Will you choose this day not just to believe in Him, not just to profess Him, not just to pray to Him, not just to read His Word, but to serve Him all the days of your life? And if you'll do that, God will be faithful to you. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, You have called us to be complete, sold-out servants for You. And we are challenged every day we wake up by the world and what's happening. We're pulled in all directions. But God, You didn't call us to be a people of doubt or uncertainty. We are more than conquerors through You. And we thank You for Your Word, the strength of Your Holy Spirit in us that guides and directs all that we do. We can choose this day whom we serve. The choice is ours. You've not taken that away from us, Lord, and we know that. But help us choose this day. Help us to serve You completely. Sold out service for You, Father. And I know if we do that, You will be faithful to us. Thank You, Father, and it is in Your Son's precious and holy name I pray tonight. Amen.